he's right here, so. Oh, we talked it. He cold talked it.
Okay. Ready to go. Yeah.
Eight iron.
Oh, we shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome to the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by Kevin and Mark, as always. What's been going on, bro?
Just been enjoying the golf, really, lad. Another unbelievable week of it.
It was heavy, wasn't it?
Unbelievable, yeah.
God, it's over me.
Aye.
it's just been non-stop, hasn't it?
It has been.
It's not even like it stops, so I don't even know why I'm saying I'm glad it's over.
Hectic, yeah. Seeing it, one of the commentators said 51 PGA tournaments this season and over 1.4 million shots.
That what it is, yeah?
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's crazy, innit?
It's been... I thought Sungjae Im played in every event. He can't do. He's only played like 35, hasn't he?
35 for the season.
He's played in more than everyone else.
He's not going to play in every single event, though, is he? Is that what you were thinking?
Well, I thought that's what he said. I watched the little documentary with him. I thought he said he plays in every event. Or maybe he's not playing in like the lesser ones, like the...
The Barbasol
and like the...
We slate the Barbasol every
week. Hate the Barbasol, man.
That shit event on the PGA Tour.
Oh, my word.
Fucking unbelievable. How's things with you, mate?
All good. I was away this weekend. No, I was away. I was up in the lakes, just camping and
taking
with
your mind
fires
off
and nature. Yeah.
Being one
little
with
break.
Nature.
But I've got a putting lesson tomorrow with Kansky's understudy. So it goes like Kenyon is like the guru. He's taught Kansky.
Sullivan, is it?
Lee Sullivan, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's up in Torex Golf in Warrington.
Oh, lovely.
So... Up there tomorrow, see what
What's
he's...
What's that, an hour?
An hour, yeah.
Well, that'll be all right, won't it?
Yeah.
What was wrong with my lessons?
No, it was good, but I just want to see if it stacks up to what he's chatting. Well, you know what, I was speaking to Hayden, and he was just saying, like, blah, 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 Hayden, like, you hold the world, but Hayden holds the world, like, and it looks... Yours looks like...
Be careful. Be very careful before you come.
Like, you it's it and jab it, don't you? Like, you get the reeds right and it whacks the back of the old way. It's like, Hayden's like nicely going and stuff, but... Nah, it just... Hayden's putting really... What?
Fuck you.
Nah, Hayden just recommended him, so I thought I'd go down. You're not naturally yet. Gifted putting, aren't you?
To be honest, I don't even know how I'm as good as I am. I couldn't explain.
It's because
it.
You believe you're that.
Yeah, I think so.
That's it.
Enough people tell me I'm good at putting. Yeah. So I think if enough people tell you you're good, maybe that's
you're
what you
need. Good.
Yeah.
Well, enough people tell me I'm shy, so I need something needs to change.
Something different.
But mine, when are you adopted your method of like taking the line and like swinging, not fast, but like it's quite a quick back and through stroke, yours, isn't it? Whereas like Dave was teaching me to get a bit more longer based on the length of putt.
I mean, my method is more your pre-shot routine. Is what I was trying to explain to you, rather than I wouldn't know how to teach you how to put technically.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying. Like getting yourself lined up properly and squared up and giving yourself a pre-shot routine and sort of teaching how to read the green a bit better.
Yeah.
But like obviously the pros are going to take it that next level. They'll tell you technically what you're doing with your wrist.
It might be a bit much for me.
Yeah, you never
do you know.
Know
what I mean? But it's one of them. It was on my list of my goals. It was
definitely
on my list to get
it.
A putting lesson.
Definitely
worth doing it. It took me a while to actually get around to booking it and to admitting that I need one, really.
Yeah.
But just see what he says anyway. That's all
we
can
say
do.
Say it every week, puff for dough.
Exactly.
We do see it every single week, don't we?
I know. So? You spend 1,500 quid on clubs or whatever and get lessons all the time, but really most of your work's done on the putting green. And
you take the most
I didn't
shots
buy. I haven't bought a new putter or nothing, and I haven't spent any money on me putting, so...
Yeah.
I don't even had any time into me putting, so it's how can you expect to put well? You know what I mean? It's mental.
Cantley was proof of that last week.
Exactly,
at the RBMW, so it does pay. You can butcher the course and knock it left,
hole
right,
a few putts
and
in.
Hole a few putts, and you shoot level par one or two over. You can play unbelievable golf tee to green and shoot 4 or 5 over if you're not putting well. So
exactly.
It is really important. Yeah, you'll have to let me know where you go with it.
I will. Well, we'll be reporting on it next week, won't we? So
definitely, yeah. Golf news. There's just been a release recently that Netflix are going to do a documentary.
Oh, my God.
Similar to the...
Drive to Survive.
One. Yeah.
Have you watched Drive to Survive?
Yeah.
How sick is it?
So good.
So, like, it'd be so good getting behind the scenes and seeing like the workout routines, like the what they're doing,
yeah,
like behind it with the teams, like with the psych, maybe they see the psychology aspect of it, maybe you see like the food that they're eating,
everything
on the road, like how they travel,
how they feel when they come straight off a course as well. We spoke, didn't we, at the BMW when Bryson came off the course and he had that head off. You imagine if Netflix are filming that as it's happening, and you can really get a feeling for exactly what he's feeling. You're not just relying on media, because sometimes media sometimes
beef it up,
story. So you don't really get a feel for the true feelings of a player. But I think something like this is
well, as well, you see, like on that Drive to Survive, where like Daniel Ricciardo moves teams from like
from Red Bull
to Reynolds. And imagine, like, he sees the Reynolds guy, or he sees the Red Bull guy, don't he? And like, he's laughing with him.
Yeah, they're like, an awkward conversation.
And it's awkward, and it's, like, weird. But imagine, like, they see, like, Bryson and Brooks, like, passing each other, like, to see
this is it.
How it goes. Yeah. Or, like, you see who goes to dinner together and things. Like, oh, it's just going to be so sick.
Yeah.
Like, the best happen? Is it fully happening?
I think, yeah. Well, they say it's going to be focused on 12 players the first season. They've got several top pros on board. And more in negotiations, so it's
people want a bit of money.
Like, yeah, so Harry Higgs has tweeted, just give me the nod. He's ready to go.
Did he? Yeah,
he'd be cracking.
Yeah, he'd be sick.
Yeah,
again, I hope they're in negotiations with Tiger.
How good would it be?
Imagine documenting his whole comeback.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Imagine they've already had this in the pipeline and they're already recording. That's why you're not seeing nothing on social media, because surely by now, look, Conor McGregor, I know it wasn't as bad, but Conor McGregor done his leg and he's constantly on social media showing his recovery.
Yeah,
in the gym,
yeah.
And like, he's got his cast off now, hasn't he? So
surely
you would have seen Tiger by now in some form doing something, not just paparazzi taking pictures of him, some sort of recovery, but
maybe
evidence of any secretive, isn't it?
Maybe he's being respectful to that 8 million that Brooks and Bryson are like sort of fighting over.
What the
Because if he puts, imagine he put a video of himself just hitting a few putts.
What was that, the PGs?
The needle mover thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like whatever attracts the most like social media attention and all that stuff. If he put a picture of a video of him putting, it'd win it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The needle would be broke, wouldn't it? Like, I just don't see how anyone beats that.
Who do you want to see in it? Then obviously take Tiger. Obviously everyone wants to see Tiger.
I like to see DJ because I like him.
The Brooks and Bryson beef, we'd want to see. I don't know if I want to see that Brooks and Bryson beef. I think we get enough of it on telly. But
I'd like to see the behind the scenes of it.
Yeah.
They've got to obviously pass each other, haven't they, on the driving range, like in the locker rooms, like at dinner in the same town. Like, surely they see each other.
When Bryson walked past crunching his shoes.
That was spikes,
Brooks done that. A lot of people were saying that was put on, weren't they? And is that just for this this programme that the PGA Tour have put on? It'd be interesting to see like if that was a Netflix documentary, he was doing it all live and taking it, what the after effects of that was.
Yeah.
You get more of a feel for the story then, don't you?
No, definitely, yeah. Well, I'd like to see DJ. I love him.
Like DJ, yeah. You know what I'd like to see? I'd be most interested to see Rory, mate.
Rory, yeah.
Because
that'd be sick.
I just think with Rory, he's probably one of the nicest people on tour, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's never got a bad word to say about anyone. Sometimes he comes out and he'll make a comment about something, but it's never malicious, is it?
No.
Be interesting to see mentally how he is off the course.
It'd be nice to. Is it just going to be PGA Tour? Did it say?
Yes, it's a Netflix documentary on the PGA Tour. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd like to see a few lower level ones, me that are like traveling around and like, you know, they don't know in the private jets and stuff. They're actually in like airplanes and airports and hotels, not like villas and PJs, do you know what I mean? It's like proper
one the who, actual who's on the board and making the cards and things.
Yeah, like I watched a European tour thing with one of this German golfer, and he drives around in a camper van and stays at the golf course and like uses like the locker room showers and like uses the power off the greenkeepers and that, like, and he was just like laughing his head off about it, and I think he's on challenge actually.
Is he? Yeah.
Yeah.
It saves the pennies, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah.
Especially at that them lower levels. I mean, I've never really looked at the lower levels in the PGA Tour and what the money earnings are like compared to the elite at the top, but it would be good to get a sense for.
Just be my boss, innit?
Yeah.
Anything like that is boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but anyone's story is, but like we put our podcast out with people's stories and people love it.
Yeah.
So if it's on Netflix, people are going to watch it, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like I didn't even like F1, and now I love it.
Yeah.
Went out and bought myself a Max Verstappen hat and all that. Do you know what I mean?
It's just another way to raise the profile of the game.
We talk about
it all the time. It's on a 40-year boom. We've not seen golf doing what it's doing for so long. So you've just got to keep adding to that because more and more people are playing now. You know,
the women's
game's growing, which we'll come on to later when we talk about the Solheim Cup and, you know, everything. Being in the golf industry and the golf world at the minute, it's just one thing after another.
It's flying, isn't it?
It's flying, yeah. So,
well, surely as soon as the PGA Tour do this, the European Tour would probably catch on and do something like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what I mean? And then you get to see behind the scenes of, like, the people who are, like, they're on less money, aren't they? So it's a different lifestyle.
Even
then, and that's where they want to be then, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. The stories, like, imagine following Higo this
season. Yeah, exactly.
And watching him come from just being a young young golfer just trying to make it on the European Tour to winning on the PGA Tour. It's an unbelievable story.
No,
so
no, yeah.
Following that and trying to understand his decision making, the way you've just mentioned the Ricardo, you knew both sides of the story because Team Red Bull were saying why they don't want him to leave and what they're thinking about doing.
Yeah.
And you hear Ricardo's side of it and what his thought process is, why he's yeah. wanting to leave, why he's not. I think we spoke, didn't we? Higo came out and said, I'm still going to play on the European Tour and the Sunshine Tour, but if you're constantly getting invites to the PGA Tour, it's going to be a struggle to turn around.
No, exactly. Of course it is, yeah.
And then going back and playing to try and support the other tours. But good on him if he does do that.
It'd be good seeing phone calls between like John Rahm and Callaway and Taylor Maiden. Like if they're any, like if it's sort of they try and keep him and offer them things, or do you know what I mean? There's or whether so he just made it, the change to Callaway himself. Like it's
so much to it, yeah. Understanding how that relationship went, because you don't just leave Taylor Maiden. They've got Tiger and everyone, so something's got to give, hasn't it?
Yeah, maybe he just wasn't top dog there, do you know what I mean? And he wanted to be top dog.
Well, he's proven he's top dog.
He is top dog, isn't he? Yeah, of course.
And we'll come on to that to be player of the season. We're going to have a review later in the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, definitely, a million percent. Any golf news knocking about?
Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, he's expecting a child, yeah. It's lucky that we got him to keep his tour card, really, wasn't it? Because the child would be hungry.
Yeah, so congratulations to Spieth and his partner.
And Neiman got the record for the fastest round.
Brilliant,
was that at East Lake or was that ever?
I think it's ever.
Is fastest it? Yeah, it was like
an hour. Kevin Na held it, didn't he?
Did he, yeah. But the way they just go for that, innit?
Oh, unbelievable, yeah. He come out after the rounds and said, I was last, the tournament was over for me, really. I just had to do it, but I'm thinking to myself,
he could have played his way up, yeah.
There's a lot of money at stake moving up. Those, but I think 4 or 5 shots from, he was +4, wasn't he? And I think the one above him was level, so he'd have had to have a storm, and I don't think he was playing too well. So
he shot 72. He tied his best round for the week there by running round, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I felt for his caddy more. His caddy came out, didn't he, and said, like, we didn't have the usual 9 balls. We only put 3 in there. We took all the protein shakes and that out.
Is that
just running around? There's an East Lake there, do you know what I mean? Am I taking 3 balls is risky.
I know, isn't it? Definitely is. Yeah. You haven't got a playing partner to ask either for the ball.
Especially when you're playing that 15th hole as well.
It's scary, that.
You can definitely put 3 balls in there.
Mad one, but at least he's got something out of it, didn't he? It's a bit of fun. Making a bit of the news, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? So.
Well, that's it. He's left his mark on the Tour Championship.
Definitely, 1,000,000%. Also, one little bit of news as well. Davis Love III is the vice-captain, isn't he, of the American team?
Yep.
And he said that in Paris, the European team had them over the barrel because they knew the course a lot better than the Americans did. And he said
it's a tough track, that Le National, isn't it?
And they said they've got some players who've never played Whistling Straits. So this week, while they're off, they're going to try and get a few of them down there, as many as 10 of them, they reckon. So obviously it must be after Wednesday, and get them all to play.
Well, you use your home advantage, don't you?
That's, exactly, yeah.
You know, they're going to have the crowd behind them, aren't they?
Yeah.
So if you know the course, yeah, because that La Nationale, it was a tough, tough track, wasn't it?
Water, yeah, 1,000,000%.
So if you know the course, it's a huge advantage. And
of course, yeah. See. But just like, it's just interesting that it come out like that they've admitted that like not having knowledge a couple of years ago was the turning point.
Interesting.
Yeah,
very interesting.
Well, that's all I can find really on golf news. But the Tour Champs was full of news, wasn't it?
I was going to say, yeah, talking about courses that they will know. Eastlake every year, it has it, and it doesn't disappoint, does it?
No, does not.
Doesn't disappoint. I think Eastlake plays a big part in the setup, the FedEx setup, where they have a 10-under, 8-under, because I think on the Sunday, Berger and Xander Schauffele had 64s, 6-under, but it was the lowest scores of the week. 5-under, 4-unders, 3-under was a very popular score. So if you've got that 2-shot lead, 3-shot
lead, it's hard to like gain the ground.
Yeah, because if you look at Ram, he started 4 back and ends up 1 back. So over the 72 holes, Kevin Na and Ram shot the lowest scores.
Ah, 14, right, yeah.
14-under. So if it was just a regular events, Cantley wouldn't have won, but you know that advantage that he gained by being number one going into the FedEx has obviously served him well, and he's
well, of course, yeah. Well, Rahm missed that chipping, didn't he, for his eagle?
Yeah,
and then, but I reckon though, like he just dribbled that putt, didn't he, on 18, Cantley?
Yeah,
I think if Rahm chips
he needed 2 to win, didn't he? So,
but if Rahm chips in, I think Cantley holds for the win. He's just
that sort of
Patty Ice to call him, aren't he?
I'm not surprised after the BM.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see his statistics, though, because when you talk about putts, his strokes gained putting for this week was minus.
Was it?
Yeah. So he didn't gain any strokes on the field this week for his putting.
Wow.
But he did gain on the Tita Green.
Ah.
He was second or third on Tita Green. So it's like a flip reverse.
Of last week.
Yeah, his Tita Green weren't the best, but his putting was unbelievable.
Yeah, but look, Tita Green not the best. His putting's good. He wins the tournament. Tita Green being all right. His putting not good. He doesn't win the tournament without the shots.
Yeah, so he's not shot the lowest 72.
Do you know what I mean?
Score.
So it's still, he wouldn't have won.
It does make a
match. You know what I mean? So it's all about the putting, innit?
No, definitely. 100% about the putting, yeah. But he was in control all week, though, wasn't he? Wire to wire winner.
No, definitely. Yeah.
He didn't get caught once throughout the tournament and lose his lead. So there's a lot to be said about that. You know, I know he got a bit of luck, didn't he?
Well, I was going to say, he's probably strokes gained like 15 and lies in the rough, and he. Do you know? But you need that, don't you, at the
end
of the day?
Yeah, you do need a bit of luck. It's a, you just spoke there, 51 tournaments, it's a slog of a season,
definitely,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, a bit of luck towards the end to get it over the line for him.
Jack and he was sitting there thinking, can't believe the Bogey Boys keeping not mentioning me with these two wins. Wins in the season. I'm going to fucking show them. He wasn't even on our lips, was he? It's embarrassing, isn't it?
I know. Well, he sort of like faded off, didn't he? He had the win. He had the win at the Memorial, didn't he? After Ram with Drew. And then was the Zozo, the other one, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think
a bit earlier in the season. But seven top tens he's had. He's not really been. I know he's obviously won the last two.
It's because he's not a personality, really, and he's just seemed very Cantley, isn't he?
Yeah, if Bryson or Brooks Koepka or Rory finished top 20, top 15, something's happened that week where you talk about them.
It's because they pull off amazing shots or they hold like something massive. Cantley's just sort of like there, knocks a 30 footer in there. You know, he's not exciting, is he?
Yeah, you don't want him on the Netflix series.
I mean, I would like. He's a nice guy. I've got a few bits on him actually, and he's a very nice guy. He's been through a lot,
yeah.
So I'd love him on there. But
definitely,
and he's put his fucking card in anywhere. He's going to be they're going to be wanting to speak to him, aren't they? Now after winning his. The 15 million.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how he goes in the Ryder Cup as well. Speaking
no,
about
definitely.
Ryder Cup, two fellas who've certainly got Stricker's mind thinking there. Kevin Na, we mentioned low rounds of the week, and Billy Horschel as well. Yeah.
And Horschel's coming over to Wentworth as well this week, so
he's
putting a real strong contender, isn't he?
Mad decision that, isn't it?
Well, I just don't think he's done enough there to cement it. If he goes and wins Wentworth, he's in the Ryder Cup. Fact.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the fact, it's like, you know, you get marks for effort, don't you, as well? Like, if I was Stricker,
I'd
be...
you do, you get marks for effort, do you?
No, like...
I look at Stricker's notebook.
Like, you know, but like, you think, oh, he's having a go, isn't he? Do you know what I mean?
I know.
I think that's going to get him in the team.
But then the risk is, obviously, imagine Stricker is thinking he's in there, and then he goes to Wentworth, and he misses the cut. What happens then?
I reckon they probably already half know. Do you know what I mean?
I sort of get that because Garcia is on the edge of getting an automatic place, like on the edge in the world rankings, and he's not gone over to Wentworth to play.
Yeah, he already knows he's in.
So that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, obviously.
Poulter's playing Wentworth, isn't he?
Yeah. Poulter's Wentworth. Yeah, well, Poulter's at Wentworth. Yeah, there's a few of them. Bobby Mack, Bernd Wiesberger, they're all on the cups of it. Obviously, don't think Willett and Wallace don't think they've got a chance of getting in, but
no.
They're there as well. Victor Perez is playing, but again, I don't think he's got a real chance of getting a pick. There's only three selections, isn't there, after the automatic spot?
Yeah.
So Shane Lowry, he's in at the moment, but he's on the edge. He's there this week. Lee Westwood, he's in at the moment, but he's on the edge. So, you know, anyone can...
It can all turn round.
It can all change, yeah. Matt Fitzpatrick's in. I think he's on the edge as well. He missed the cut in Italy this week, so not playing his best. Tyrrell Hatton. I think he is cemented.
He's in, definitely.
Yeah. So there's plenty to look forward to, definitely. But I think Kevin Nard is certainly one bogey in 72 holes this
week.
Sick.
He was stuck on the Saturday as well. He was walking them in like on every hole, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Like it was sick.
Flying, wasn't he?
No.
And to finish third, massive payday for him.
No, definitely,
four million, sorry.
Yeah, second was 5 million.
Second
wasn't
was five and third four. So, you know. What a great end to the season. He won at the Sony Open, didn't he, at the beginning of the season and went quiet for a bit. But, you know what, he's got to be... Neither of us put him in for a pick, did we, last week when we done the predictions?
No.
So he's definitely knocking on the door now,
of course, yeah, 1,000,000%. But just back to Cantley for a second there. He reckons he's been sleeping. He said, I'm glad that it's Thingo, but I feel like I've been sleeping on this lead for like 2 weeks straight.
Yeah.
You know, going to bed with the lead on Sunday. Like, he feels like he's been, he's obviously had the lead, and he with Bryson playoff, then he's had the lead all week. He knew he was ahead.
Yeah.
From, it's not like a Sunday going in. He's been ahead from the start.
Yeah.
So every day he's felt like a Sunday to him.
Well, definitely. His last,
do you know what I mean?
His last 15 events since the WGC St. Jude, he's broke 70.
Well, yeah, he just said it. Just, I'm so happy not to have the lead anymore and have it all to be done and closed out. Like, he said, there was just a long year, ton of golf and a ton of pressure, but he's happy that it's all done, and he's proud of himself for staying in the moment and delivering when it counted, which is what he's done, isn't he?
He did
really?
Do that, yeah. I mean, obviously, Ram's gone first on 18 with that 5-iron, nearly held it.
Oh.
He's got an eagle. Obviously, it was a chip, but from back there, it must have looked like he had a putt at it.
He could have putted it, really, couldn't he?
He could have done, yeah. And so the pressure on that 6-iron going in for Cantlay, and to knock it to
it, pitches like perfect, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But that I've seen a couple of them bounce the other way into the trap.
Yeah. Well, that's what Tiger.
Tiger's that exactly. Trap, yeah.
So, you know, it's little margins like that. But, you know, he gets it over the line. He's certainly a contender for player of the season, isn't he, this year?
I've got to be, yeah. But as you say, look at Rahm chipping that there, because his putter just, what, hasn't been hot for the last couple of weeks, has it?
No.
Do you know what I mean? Even though he's shooting great scores, it's not like when he won the US Open with them two stormer putts, and his putt he was putting was on fire.
Yeah.
He's just, it hasn't been there, has it?
No, and I think we look at some stats in a minute when we go through who we think the player of the season is, but when you look at what he's leading in the statistics this season, it's everything but the putting.
Yeah, well, exactly.
So, like, we could be talking about, I know he's had his difficulties with his COVID and having to withdraw when he's got a commanding lead at the Memorial and things like that. And then he withdrew from the other tournament with COVID, didn't he, when he was challenging. So we could literally be talking about Ram having one of the best seasons since...
Sliced bread.
There you go. But it was it was a great event.
It was
a great
way event.
To finish.
Another person who threw his name in the hat was Berger.
What,
I don't know how
far,
maybe a little bit far out, but he's finished on a strong note, and he's final round 64.
Yeah.
Four birdies in a row to finish.
Yeah.
It just... Your name creeps up the leaderboard a bit. You're there, like, you're in next to Finau in the final standings, aren't you? In the top 30 best players in the world, and your name's in there, isn't it?
Well, definitely. We talk about Horschel.
You didn't have him in your thing, did you? Oh no,
not Berger. No, Sam Burns. I had.
Oh, Burns. That's it.
Billy Horschel started 29th and then got 9th, top 10. Daniel Berger started 26th, and he was only two shots further back, 11th.
Exactly.
Tied 11th. He finished in the end. He finished on the same score as Finau, and Finau went in second place.
Exactly. So when you look at that, you think Finau, like, I know he won, and he's broke his duck, and he's like probably the better player, isn't he, than Berger? But you just don't know what trick I might do.
Do you know a player who never, ever gets a mention? Jason Cochrach.
Never.
Looking at the scores there, and he's... the same.
You don't
Berger.
Even see him on the telly, though, do you?
He's won twice this year.
I know.
And he's had five other top tens. He started 18th, and he finished 800 as well, same as Finau and Berger, tied 11th.
It's just like, he's like one of them players, if Cantley's not winning, you don't see him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's just outside that super...
There's the
superstars, isn't there? You've got your big boys, and then you've got your...
Does these last couple of weeks in this season put... can't lean into that superstar discussions now then? Or do you think your personality...
See, I still don't think, no.
And at the personality...
It's like when... who won it? Someone won the whole thing. Like what? He's done Haas. Was it Jay Haas?
And
he's just not... He wasn't ever into that bracket of, like, superstar, was he?
Yeah, but amateur credentials for Cantlay?
No, of course, yeah. But I've actually got a load of... like, a little story of Cantley's life, because I was looking... Because I was thinking that he went missing for a bit and stuff, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Jordan is in his thing. But so in 2011, he shot a second round 60 at the Travelers, and it's the first 60 or better by an amateur in the PGA Tour history. And then he turned pro in 2012, which played Corn Ferry, had the odd sponsors invited the big tour. It was all going fine. And then he was warming up in Texas and at the Charles Schwab, and he felt like someone had knifed him in the back.
Got back pain.
Yeah, so he had to withdraw. Then he had a 7-month break. His back still wasn't right. So this is in 2012.
Yeah.
Then he struggled through. I'll tell you this, in 2013, he struggled through 2014. Sat out 2015 entirely. The whole thing. He still wasn't feeling well at the outset of 2016, and then he went back. Got his high school mate Chris Roth, and they had it all played. They were going to play the tour. Roth was going to caddy, and literally, he was on a night out, and he walked across the road. He was going to a restaurant. Chris Roth walked across the road and was killed. And then, remember we were talking about Cantley's mate.
Yeah.
He just Cantley called it
what
a freak.
Year was
That was in 2016.
Right, yeah. So he's just trying to get back into it.
Yeah. And then he spent the rest of the sixth of 2016 rebuilding emotionally and physically. And he returned in 2017. So really, from that's like, what, 4 years? 5 years, nearly, of just not playing through injury, through all things. There was times where he thought he'd never pick the club up again. Mm-hmm. And in 2017, he had limited action because he'd done his L5 vertebrae. Don't know where that is on your back, but it's obviously an air. And he fulfilled his medical exemption in his second start. And then the turning point came when he had a runner-up finish to Adam Hadwin, at the Valspar in 2017. And effectively out of nowhere, do you reckon? And just then
the performance come out of nowhere.
Yeah, because he was doing his back was done in. Yeah, no expectation, no nothing. And then from 2017, obviously he's kicked on, and then now he's done this. And so really, he's just getting to where he thinks he probably should have been in 2012.
If he didn't have all the adversity.
But I think he said that the dark days of his past have made this feel even better.
Yeah, well, you can't take that away from him, can you?
No,
you know he does deserve it. He's had an unbelievable season. But like we said there, there's a bit of luck as well that comes to it.
Oh, 1,000,000%.
Because when we're talking about the player of the season, Cantley wins 4,
yeah?
Double anybody else with 7 top 10s. Ram wins once with 15 top 10s, and Ram wins a major. So are you comfortable that it's just them two in the discussion for player of the season, surely? There's nobody else that is there.
No, maybe Bryson could have put a tag on it if he'd won this week. Or
I think even
if he'd had the best 72 old score this week, Bryson, he could have been in there with a little mix. But
yeah, okay. No. So if we're just talking about them two now, what's interesting about it is Ram obviously had that big lead at the Memorial.
Yeah,
he withdraws because of COVID, and then Cantley goes on to win.
Yeah,
okay. So I know ifs, buts, maybes. Cantley's missed 2 cuts in majors, and he's missed the cut of the players. Right. So for all of his good work that he's done, I think
when the big stage has been on, obviously not now this week, but when what you mean, yeah.
So the two tournaments that he'd won before this was the Zozo, which is a half decent tournament, but it's not like a big massive event, is it? And then you've got
but it's usually in Japan as well, isn't it? And it wasn't this year, was it?
Yeah, it was in Florida this year. Yeah, they changed it, and then you've got the Memorial that he won because of
Ram,
and then you've got the Tour Championship that he won because of his advantage. But he's only got that advantage because Ram withdrew from the Memorial. Because if Ram doesn't withdraw from the Memorial, I don't know, this is a mouthful, but if Ram doesn't withdraw from the Memorial and wins that tournament, then Ram goes into the Tour Championships at 10 under, and then Ram wins the Tour Championship.
So COVID's fucked Ram royally again.
Royally again, yeah. Because you look at money won this season as well. Ram has won more money in the regular season than Cantley. He's won $7.7 million. Cantley's won $7.6 million,
right,
taking the bonuses away from this week. And then you look at where Ram is ranked on the statistics. He's ranked first in scoring average for the season, birdie average for the season, strokes gained total for the season, strokes gained tee to green, par 3 scoring, par 5 scoring, and top 10 finishes.
World number one as well.
And he's got his world number one title back. So,
see, do you know what? I was going to sit here and say that Cantley's won 4 times, he won the FedEx. I don't agree with what you're saying, but now that you've said all that, I believe that they're going to give it to Ram.
Yeah.
Because
it's a major.
It's that point where he got took out because of things out of his control, 6 under, and he'd never shot under a 65 or something. Had he had the more, whatever it was at the course.
You might as well have just given the
title. You might as well have given me. And Cantley was actually the one that benefited from that.
Yeah, Cantley.
So it's just I think that I know maybe they will give it to Cantley because of the way it's all happened in the last couple of weeks. But I'd personally probably give it to Ram off what you're saying there, definitely.
Yeah, and again, I know it's if buts and maybes again, but Bryson missing a couple of putts in the playoff and doing what he done at the BMW. If Bryson wins that tournament in the playoff, then Ram wins the FedEx.
Yeah.
Even with the Memorial gone as it was, Bryson winning that tournament means Cantley doesn't start top at 10 under. And looking at the scoring of where Ram would have been and where Bryson would have been and how they scored that week, Ram would have won the Tour Championship. So it's
margins.
And that's
what
I'm saying,
it's
tiniest bit of luck here and there, but I'm not taking anything away from Cantley. He's had an unbelievable season. Obviously, what you say that he's gone through there, he deserves everything that he's got.
Yeah.
But I just think I can't see past Ram this season just because of everything that he's went through, and he's still
And he had to withdraw. I know it's not the same, but he had to withdraw out the Olympics as well, didn't he?
He had to withdraw out the Olympics, yeah.
I'm not sure there's something else where he had to withdraw, you know?
He was leading another tournament, wasn't he? And he had to withdraw mid-tournament.
Joke.
Yeah. So, again, you know, a couple of tournaments, there's a couple more points on the FedEx, which puts him in a stronger position. Maybe
he wins it, yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, for Ram, this season could have potentially been, like, one season that you talk about for years to come.
What? Yeah, because if he keeps his place as the world number one, goes on to win 10, 15 majors or something mad.
We spoke last year, didn't we, about DJ? Oh my God, DJ's never going to lose a tournament he plays in ever again.
Cursed him, didn't we?
Yeah, cursed him big time, yeah. Cursed a few players, haven't we?
Yeah.
But then, yeah, I just, you know, for me, John Ram player of the year, as much as Cantley's done, I just think when you look at as a whole season and what's gone on.
No, yeah, you're right.
I just don't think you can't take away from Cantley. I mean, Ram.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Yeah. What about giving it to Harris English because he had a hole in one on 15?
Unbelievable, that. How good was that?
And two wins.
The hardest hole ever, that is.
I know, it's a joke,
it?
That one. I know.
Well, look at what you think of the, just before we move on from the Tour Championships, obviously it's been a brilliant season, hasn't it? What's your feelings and your views on how it's all played out and the finishes? Because it does, just to give you a few statistics to look at there, Xander Schauffele, I mean, that's pretty, East Lake's pretty much his home, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he's never shot over par round there in a Tour Championship event. It's always been 70 or better. Again, he shot 14 under, 12 under for the tournament. His finishing position was tied fifth. But he hasn't won, and he's had 8 top tens this season, and he finishes fifth for the whole FedEx. And then you've got somebody like Bryson DeChambeau, who's won twice, had 9 top tens and finishes one place behind him. Then you've got Cochrach, 2 wins, 5 top tens, finishes 11th. You've got Harris English.
Yeah, because you've got to remember the wins that Cochrach's got there, they're like 300, they're like the Barbasols. Nah, but they're like 300 pointers, you know what I mean, where you're getting like 2,000 for winning one of these.
No, I get. That's what I'm just asking. What do you think about the whole setup? Because
I think that the major should have a major, and a WGC should have carry as much weight as a FedEx event.
I mean, taking away the top two or three, maybe. I don't think that these final standings replicate the seasons people have had.
Now, if you put 2,000 points on a major and 1,000 points on a WGC, Morikawa's probably coming out on top there.
Yeah, well, talking about Morikawa, 2 wins, 8 top 10s, finished 26th.
Yeah, but it's 2 wins at a major and a WGC.
Exactly.
So if he gets 2,000 points and 1,000 points, that's three extra 3,000. He's blowing the field apart.
Well, this is
obviously
it.
Obviously, Ram would get an extra 2,000 and Mickelson and Matsuyama as well. But
looking at Morikawa in particular, he's turned up to this event and Patrick Reed's finished above him.
Well, exactly.
So Patrick Reed didn't play the first two playoff events. Patrick Reed has won once, 6 top 10s, and he's finished above Morikawa, who's won twice, had 8 top 10s and played the other two playoff events.
Well, it's like Justin Thomas said like last week, he could win 15 times in a season, and then if he can't play the Tour Championship because of injury, he finishes 30th in the FedEx.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Even if he's 10 under going in, Brooks had to withdraw. Imagine Brooks was Cantley.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, plays 2 rounds, plays a few shots on his, like 9 holes on his third round or whatever,
yeah,
and has to withdraw because he's fucked.
Or even look at Ram, if he gets COVID.
Exactly,
he gets
a
positive COVID test as he's...
All of a sudden, everyone passes you and you're last and you're like, I've won 15 times there.
Yeah.
So it is boss for the drama. We love to see it, the excitement. But it's just like, it can be a bit of a cruel thing.
Yeah. It's just, I just think the way the point system just gets forgotten about, and
you've got a
2-shot lead after potentially having an unbelievable season. And to be honest, Cantley,
you were liking it last week, though, weren't you? Saying like anyone can win in
that. No, I like the playoff positioning where 120th or 115th can then go on to win the Tour Championship, because what's the point of being in a playoff if you can't win it?
Yeah.
So I understand the 2,000 points for the that position. I just don't think that the starting positions here with the 10 unders to start, 8 under, 7 under, 6 under, I don't think that really reflects the end of the season standings. It's like, once you get into the one, it's literally just,
it's like Cantley, what Cantley's basically done is like in the football terms of like finishing 7th and getting into the Prem or whatever you do, sixth, whatever, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you beat a few, you win the, you play shite all season, finish seventh,
yeah.
And then you go ahead of someone who finished third,
yeah, exactly.
And go into the Premiership because you won a few games in your playoffs.
Using that as an example, you could have a team who finishes second on 80 points and then the team below who finished third in the playoffs on 79 points and then the team who finishes sixth or seventh on like 45 points.
Exactly.
And then they've outshone them all season and then that one game, they beat them and they go to the Premier League. And it's
life-changing, that, though, isn't it? And, like, and again, life-changing for Cantley, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Which is, and again, karma and like hard work. Like he said, he was going to go back to school at one point and
well,
jib
listen,
the golf.
I'm not saying Cantley's had a terrible season. It's far from it. He's had an unbelievable season. He's won four times. You can't take that away from him. He's got it over the line. And he did only have a two-shot advantage. So it's not like he's been given a tournament. He's still had to go out and shoot the numbers.
Oh, yeah.
He shot 11 under for the four rounds, which is good going. Obviously, it's not the lowest of the week, but it's also would have got you in the top three, top four for that week.
Yeah.
So I just think it doesn't, not even just that, not even the top, I could say the top two, Ram and Cantley, I think they deserve to be there. But then when you look a bit further down the list, like Billy Horschel, one win, six top tens, finishes top 10 in the FedEx for the season, and he's finished above Rory McIlroy, Jason Cocker, who's won two, Jordan Spieth, who we spoke about at the beginning of the season, has come back, one win, nine top tens. I just don't think that this format really sets up well for...
Like, I think if they're going to rank a PGA Tour event a lesser event and put the 300 points that they just need... honestly, if they boosted their majors up and the WGCs, it changed the face of that.
Yeah.
And that'd sort Ram out this season, wouldn't it?
Yeah. No,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, and give them that advantage going in, yeah. So, no, I agree. I think the setup and getting to the Tour Championships is a good setup. I just don't agree with the...
10-shot thing.
Yeah, the 10-shot thing, yeah. So, but, you know, unbelievable season.
No, great. Boss.
I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed talking about it as well.
It's the most golf I've ever watched in the season anyway. Like, before we started this podcast, man, it was used to be... Highlights on Sunday now, it's like it doesn't stop. Oh,
it doesn't stop, yeah. You forget how much golf is actually on. Don't
oh my god, it's on.
Different tours.
Like, honestly, my bear can't believe it sometimes. That, like, golf's back on Thursday morning.
Every time, yeah. We've got the Women's Solheim Cup today.
Yeah, exactly, Monday.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of days break, and then we've got Wentworth again. But before we come on to Wentworth a bit later on, we've had an event on the European Tour, return for Tommy Fleetwood, and he almost got there, didn't he?
Mate. I know you're not going to agree with this, but he should be cruising that event. Stepping down in calibre.
That's not really a step down, though, is it? You've got Fitzpatrick playing in that event. You've got...
He's a crab.
I think that does a disservice to the players on there, do you know what I mean? Like,
but if they wouldn't be on there if they were better.
Yeah, but some of them, like Højgaard, who won 20 years of age, do you know what I mean? He's like, some of them are just making the way.
No, of course, there is a pedigree there. But yeah. Tommy, like last year he was in the world top 10, do you know what I mean? He's a cut above them.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree that. But just to turn up to an event and win it.
Well, yeah, he's come second, and he tied second on 12 under. And he's had two doubles and easy holes. Like, and
on his first 2 days.
Both on the 17th hole, yeah. Albeit the other one being the 8th.
Yeah,
like three putts and like putting it, like even that we put that ball in the water on 16, 306 yards or 307 yards the hole was.
And yeah, if you're talking about shots as well, he's obviously just lost out to Højgaard, hasn't he, by a shot, but Højgaard has made two twos on 60 in the drive ball par four. So
exactly, it. Yeah. You know, well, Højgaard, obviously, it's a stormer shot in there, the last, like Tommy's, it went into like 10 foot and he knocked it in. Yeah. Højgaard's, it's a wedge in and obviously knocked the putt in, which is a simple putt, but... All credit to Højgaard for birdieing the last to get his maiden victory, like after his brother winning last week, his brother watching on.
Unbelievable.
Like, that is amazing. But I just think Tommy, like, I'm being biased towards Tommy here, but like, because obviously other people have left shots out there as well, but just watching Tommy, he's left so many shots out there.
Yeah.
And I really think it's going to stand him in good stead this week as well.
Do you think that's what he needed, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you like the fact that Højgaard went out and won it though? Because I know you've got to...
Take
the birdie and win the tournament, because you've got to think as well the pressure on him.
Well, what would they like to see if Højgaard was in a position in the fairway? Because he hooked it left, didn't he?
Yeah.
I wonder if he goes for it.
Yeah,
that's what I would like to see him go and win.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas he was sort of forced to lay up and it's a boss wedge shot in.
Yeah, it's half done him a favour, hasn't it?
But then if he lays up And then it's his wedge. It's like
it doesn't make and makes the par.
And then it makes the par, yeah.
Well, the pressure on, he'll know as well that Tommy is if he doesn't make a birdie and he makes a par, he's in a playoff with Tommy Fleetwood
and Maronk as well. That Polish fella.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's the only Polish golfer, isn't he?
I don't know. Fact check. I've not seen any others on the tour. No, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
But again, obviously, we won't spend too much time on the Italian Open. I just thought it was worth mentioning.
And no, it's a million
great
percent.
Story,
yeah.
Great story. The Hoegaard brothers.
Yeah, definitely.
Ryder Cup contender.
Of course. Well, Rasmus is anyway. Definitely.
Rasmus.
Yeah. But he actually got in, Nicolai, on a Monday, late Monday invite.
Oh, did he? I didn't know that. What happened there?
He just, I think Rasmus dropped out. Nah, that'd make it sound even better, wouldn't it? But I just seen that he said he got in. Did you see his interview after?
No, I've not seen it.
Oh, it's so funny. He's talking. He's like, yeah, I got in, like, a late Monday invite and come. And then, like, he's like, I'm just feeling every fucking emotion right now. I was like, yes. Like, apologies for the language there.
But the pressure on him as well, I've just mentioned there about not getting through Tommy, but I know he'd be happy for his brother, but his brother's the same age as him.
The twins.
And he's won 3 times on tour, and that was obviously his maiden victory, Hoegaard, so he must be thinking, oh, I need to catch me, bro, yeah.
I was going to do a little fact file. We're going to save it for next week.
Yeah.
We're going to do the Molinari brothers and then the Hoegaard twins. We can do like a little double brother thing, playoff. But I think all his life they've been in each other's, like, in his shadow. Yeah. I think Rasmus always just been that
level
step
above.
Like, he went from the Challenge Tour first, he went to, got his victory fit, you know what I mean? He's always been that little bit faster,
yeah,
even though they're the same age, sort of like the way, well, no, not like the way Eduardo went, didn't he? And then Molinari was on it, Francesco was on his bag, and then next minute he swapped round, and he was, you know what I mean? Which is like sick,
it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah. But that was a great tournament, like, to be fair,
yeah. Always great to watch, aren't they?
And what we missed out last week is this is the Ryder Cup venue
for the
next one.
Yeah.
So
it's coming.
We know what would
it's coming Rome. They've got on the billboards, haven't they?
Oh my god! I'm gonna have to go down there.
Saying the English won't be liking that after the World Cup.
Oh my god! I know.
It's coming Rome, yeah. But no, again, obviously we'll talk Ryder Cup a bit later on, but it brings us nicely onto that time again.
It's that time again, y'all. The birdie boogie bust, the birdie boogie bust, birdie boogie bust.
What's up?
I was waiting for you to say, watch your birdie.
Watch your birdie.
My birdie is, I know it's bad this, for it to be my birdie, and it's pure hatred, and it's just very nasty. But Paddy Reid was hitting a shot into the 15th, and Rich Beam goes, Captain Steve Stricker, are you watching? Like, they used to say, like, Paddy Reid's going to hit this stiff, like, this shot stiff, and he puts it in the water. And Nick Doherty goes, well, I hope he's not. I just thought it was great. And it was Patrick Reid, so
brilliant.
It was even better. What's your birdie, brother?
Mine's just the success of the Order of Merit. It's concluded.
Oh, congratulations, golfing Gareth.
Yeah, Gareth, well done, mate, yeah. Congratulations on your
So win. That rule, that stupid withdrawal rule that we made.
We just made that up on the cuff, didn't we, to say, like, if someone withdraws, you need to be punished for it. And it's obviously cost DJ the title at the end.
Well, I was saying, I went back to the first episode, and it was like, Kepka had just withdrew from the tournament, like, seconds ago, and I was arguing with you, saying, well, what if he would just withdrew? Everyone just found out a second ago, like, do you know what I mean? And it's just ironic that Kepka withdrew.
Danny
and now it's made Gareth win.
I know. It's not just that. We had Kepka withdrew and Xander Schauffele shot 6-under in the final round to get into the top 10.
Oh.
And that's a 40-point swing because Xander was in pot 3. So a top 10 got him 20 points plus the 20 Danny lost for Kepka. That was a 40-point swing over the weekend. And he ended up beating Danny by, I'm going to say, 14 points.
Yeah, I think Danny was, 7-9-4, and Gareth was 8-0-7.
Yeah, so 13 points, unlucky for some.
Yeah, unlucky for Danny, man.
Unlucky for Danny.
But I think a lot of people have got involved, and like people have been messaging and asking how did they get involved and stuff, so we might, obviously try and get it more automated, aren't we? But
yeah.
I think we should put a bit of a prize pool together, maybe get everyone to throw a 5 in or a 10 in.
And then give prizes.
Well, like, say we throw a 10 in, put a 5 overall, and then put £2.50 off each player into a major sweep, And then
whoever wins that week,
and whoever wins the major gets like £2.50 off everyone. So it's like a little 50
quid.
Let's
put a vote out there because obviously it's concluded now. We'll put a vote on the story, and we'll just see if people want to do that. And anyone that wants to get involved, and as I say, anyone who's listening now, contact us on the socials if you're interested in playing. Just send us your email address. We're going to start the new season in January. We're just going to give it a couple of months to make it bigger and better for everyone, so more can get involved. So drop us a line. But yeah, that's me birdie for the week, just the success. The way it went right down to the wire. I mean, at one point, Gareth was over 100 points behind Danny. So I think the point system's worked well.
No, it is. It's boss.
Yeah. So.
Well, a few people, I think Gareth himself pitched in, talking about the changing a few things. So we'll take all the feedback on board, won't we?
Well, yeah, we're going to
If anyone else has got anything else to say.
Yeah, definitely get in touch, as I say, for any
feedback. Say it to me face.
Or behind the keyboard, whatever suits you.
Yeah. But not any other suggestions, anything you think, like, you didn't like, pitch it in and we'll make it better.
One good feedback we've had is like it just makes the weekly golf more interesting for people. Yeah. They actually want to turn it on and watch it. So essentially we're growing the game.
And you're looking down at your, like, to be honest, I know people, like, I didn't know who, like, Russell Henley and Richie Renske and Chesson Hadley, like, I weren't on these people until I was steaming around Pop 4 looking for a pick. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, who are these,
like,
guys?
Were
you looking at stats on the page? That's why you beat me on it.
Oh yeah, and that's another thing. That should be my birdie, actually. Beating you. By a good bit as well.
I had Brooks Koepka, didn't I? Minus seven, I had Bryson and Brooks, so, you know, just nothing down for me, really. No. But what was unlucky with Danny as well, Danny had Cantley, so Danny won. But then because obviously Xander had such a good tournament.
No way.
I know. So, again, them two were going at it because Gareth had John Ram, so they'd have been like that on 18, one on the other. So, no, I'm just really happy with how it went. Obviously,
didn't
know how it was going to turn out at the beginning, did we? But it's turned out to be a success. And
no, it's brilliant.
We hope it continues and people get involved.
It will. I reckon it will. It's only going to go bigger, isn't it, really?
Mm. What's your bogey?
My bogey is, so I turned on the Solheim Cup, and I seen a sight. Bubba Watson rapping to the crowd.
Is he at it again?
And I was just like, oh my fucking God, what is going on here?
Do you reckon he says the same thing when he listens to the Birdie Bogey Bus tune?
Yeah, nah. I think he might want to call me in for some help.
What was the song he done with Ricky Fowler?
Yeah.
Birdie Boys.
The Birdie.
Yeah. Ooh, la. There we go. Love getting you to do a song every week. I'm not seeing that now. Does he just come out and just drop?
He's just rapping, to like, he's getting the crowd going on the first tee.
I'm like, you're not liking that.
It was just a bit cringy, to be honest. So he's getting bogey for that.
Bogey time.
But he should get a little special mention, actually, as well, because he's growing the women's game. He's there. He's pumping
it
up.
He's bringing
a bit of attention to it as well through his social media and different things. So
definitely,
well done, Bubba. But your rapping can jib it. What's your bogey, bro?
I don't know if you've seen it. Bryson DeChambeau hit his driver down the 11th hole on 18 on, I'm going to say, the Saturday. Saturday, maybe, or the Friday, I can't remember what day it was.
Yeah.
But basically, you know what he does, doesn't he? He's got these plans in his head where he'll take a different line to make a shorter second shot in. So on 18, he's knocked this drive over the trees on the 11 to give himself a shorter line because you've got the water in the middle of the fairway on 18, haven't you?
Yeah.
Far. And that's obviously in play for Bryson. But Cantley nearly put it in there, didn't he, on the last day, just short of it. So,
but remember, was it Tiger and he put it in there, didn't he, when he won a couple of years back?
Yeah, exactly. So
it bounces down the hill, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it's one of yours, actually, one of your normal busts and bogeys. It's a rules of golf. So they go down, they're looking for the ball, can't find it, 3 minutes are up, and then they're on the radio talking about what should we do, what should happen. And then you're over here on the radio saying, like, a spectator's picked the ball up. We believe the spectators picked the ball up. But there was another person saying something along the lines of, we think it's plugged. So I don't know what they were trying to gauge, but basically they just said to him, well, because the spectators picked the ball up, or we believe the spectators picked the ball up, but normally if they can see something on camera, they'd surely show it, wouldn't they? On the telly to say, this is what's happened.
Like when it goes in someone's bag or it hits someone, you can see it, can't
you? Yeah, like you see a replay, but there's no replay. So,
oh, there's obviously not going to be cameras over on the 11th, is there?
Well, this is what I mean, yeah. So I don't know where they've got that from. There's cameras off the 18th where they've seen the ball hit the tree and where it goes to, but it could have got caught up in the tree. Anyway, long story short, they've allowed them to drop the ball with no penalty, and even though he's exceeded the 3 minute time to look for his ball, that is no longer a requirement because somebody has picked his ball up. So the 3 minute rule doesn't no longer apply because they're not looking for a lost ball. It's a different rule because somebody's picked the ball up and took it, so he gets a free drop to replace it.
Shut up.
Yeah, knocks it on the green and makes a birdie. And I think, obviously, he hasn't won the tournament, but then you look at where he's finished in the tournament, and overall, he's finished 7th on his own at minus 13. Now, if he makes birdie with his second ball, if he has to go back off the tee, then that's a two-shot difference. He then moves down a place, so there's a lot of money at stake for these... for these decisions that are being made. He'd be tied 8th with Dustin Johnson.
That's mad, that.
Yeah, so it was just a... So next time you hit one on another just fairway, thinking if that, you can't find it, just say, that guy's picked me ball.
I've actually been in that situation, remember? You we talked about it when we first started this podcast. Someone done it to you.
Yeah.
And picked your ball up.
Yeah.
And we put that picture with the snake, didn't we? You know what I mean? So what's to say like that you 100% know that someone's picked that ball up?
Well, it goes back to the rule of the if you go into a water hazard, what is it now?
95% sure.
95% sure that it's gone in, you get the drop if you can't see it physically going in. So it just goes back to the integrity of golf, and it just seems every week Bryson's caught up in these sort of like, lost ball scandals. I just think it's risk-reward. I'm not...
Like, if you see someone pick your ball up, I believe like that should be like you put it there, but obviously it does open the door for someone to say, oh, someone's picked that up there.
Yeah.
But if your playing partners agree, then...
It goes on integrity, doesn't it? But there's enough cameras and there's enough people around to know for sure whether someone's picked the ball up.
So and if someone's picked up Bryson's ball, surely they know about it.
Why does it take 3 or 4 minutes to make that decision? If you know straight, it just seemed to me like it got to a point where they were out of options. And
how far
said,
could the person be away? You know what I mean? From it.
And if a ball's landed there and he's seen it land there, he's surely going to want to stand by it to watch Bryson hit the shot, isn't he? Not pick it up.
Exactly, yeah.
I just didn't understand.
And if a ball lands, you're thinking someone just hit that. It doesn't just drop out the sky like a fucking snowball, does it? Exactly, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what? Well,
it's not as though there's a tournament going on.
No, I know.
Yeah. So that was me bogey. Anyway, I just think I'm normally team Bryson. I do like what he's doing with the game of golf. I'm not going to lie, but I just think that one was a bit borderline. I don't know if I was happy with that. So. That was my bogey for the week. What's your bust?
My bust is Tommy not getting the job done.
Yeah.
Just, I had him in a bet. Like, all sorts of gear. Like,
costing you money again.
I just think that he took a level down, a set cord last week. I said, it's the best Tommy goes and wins there.
Yeah.
And he was just cruising it, double bogey, cruising it, double bogey. Kept getting pegged back, and then he just didn't end up finishing the job off, did he, boy?
No,
it was a good effort second, but just not.
When
not
you
getting...
consider the season that he's had, he had a poor season.
Yeah, no, so definitely. Yeah. That'll do. And he hasn't won for 2 years as well. That would have just really,
long, yeah.
So that really would have kicked him on. So 2019, the thingy.
We're going to see a lot more of him on the European Tour, aren't we? As well, by the looks of things, he's got limited starts on the PGA Tour, hasn't he, for next season. So.
Well, I think what'll probably happen is he'll probably win again and get like more invites and more exemptions over there, won't he? So
yeah, I think he's a household name. He'll be getting invites to every event. I mean, if they're inviting Wills Alatoris to go over and play and Bobby McIntyre to play certain events, they're definitely going to invite Tommy over.
Not million percent.
Yeah,
but yeah, that was just me. Bust. What's yours?
It's interesting. You mentioned the Solheim Cup before about Bubba Watson trying to grow the game and stuff like that. I seen somebody post. I can't remember the name, so I can't give credit.
Lexi Tom Tom Satnav.
Have we hit that hour? Lexi Thompson has won 11 LPGA Tour victories, yeah?
Yeah.
74 top tens. And Patrick Cantlay, this week, with the money that he's earned off the bonus, has now won $3.6 million more dollars than Lexi has won in her whole career. Nikolai Højgaard won 485,000 this week for his first event,
and that's a decent chunk. Rasmus only won 300 and something,
exactly.
314 last week.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing on the European Tour. I don't believe that the FedEx bonus pot, 5 million for first, 50 million for first, sorry, 5 million for second, 4 million for third. I think that money could be best served in maybe doing another way. You've got 3 Rolex series events, or maybe do 3 FedEx events. Over the season, he's won, without the bonus, 7.7 million. And I think for a season, that is good. That's enough.
Yeah.
You know, I think adding 15 million onto that is not going to change Patrick Cantley's life. If you're winning the FedEx, you've won more than enough money that season to go. So I think that, why not
it's
use done, that?
It's too far gone now, though, isn't it?
People are
playing for that. And they have been for 15 years or however many years it was.
All you're hearing every week is, we're not playing for the money, we're playing for the trophies, you know what I mean? Money, and all the you watch the presentations on the television, and all they're saying is, these guys, that 15
some of them are, but you see Harris English talking about job security when he won.
Yeah. No,
do you know what I mean? Like, there is players out there that are life-changing. Like.
Exactly, but if Harris English wins the FedEx and comes first and gets between 5 and 7 million for that year, he doesn't have to play for job security.
No, he doesn't, of course, but that's if someone outside of the top 30, like your big names, wins the FedEx, then they are playing for money, aren't they? It's life-changing.
But what I'm saying is that what they win throughout that season is sufficient for it to be life-changing, and that money from the FedEx can be best served in the golf industry. So maybe do three.
But I just don't think it's like events. Do you see the way they put the thing on golf's biggest prize, and now you've got other tours coming in saying, like, we're going to offer 10 million, we're going to offer this much millions, we're going to play for that. Do you know what I mean? It's like
there's always two sides to it. Just my bust and my point around it is, the most money won on a PGA Tour season was Rory McIlroy in 2019 when he won 24.3 million.
Yeah.
In 2020, last season, Dustin Johnson won 23.9 million.
Yeah.
And this season, Patrick Cantlay's won 22.6 million. Now, those three players there, regardless of whether they got those bonuses or not, they are still going to be financially secure for the rest of their lives.
You missed out who's fourth and fifth on that list as well. Tiger Woods. And then Tiger again.
And then Tiger again. And it was back in 2008 when
it was 7 and 9, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So, but you look at that, and again, obviously, that what I'm saying is, you could have on the LPGA Tour three FedEx Series events.
I do get it, but you think you need a sponsor that's going to come in and back the LPGA Tour, whereas FedEx, they're pretty much cemented on the PGA Tour, aren't they? You don't think they're going to drop to the LPGA Tour as well?
But why not?
I just don't know.
They can do, yeah.
I've phoned them up and asked them. I just think that, like, the way you've got, like, remember the Women's British Open sponsored by, like, Weetabix or, like, Ricoh or whatever? I just think that you need someone to come along, like a big undies sort of corporation to throw something like that on, like Rolex has done for the European Tour.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. But I think FedEx have got that opportunity because they have got.
Why don't Rolex do it?
Because Rolex are not throwing that money about.
They are, though, because your Rolex events are worth $7 million, so obviously come from somewhere.
Yeah, but the purse just in the bonuses in that FedEx just alone, the first, second, and third is $24 million.
Yeah, well, three Rolex events is $7, $14, $21 million.
Exactly. So that $24 million as a bonus could be best saved by doing a FedEx Rolex type series on the LPGA Tour and then having three big events there.
No, in addition to the majors. I do get it, but I don't think FedEx is your man for that. I think there's going to have to be someone else.
Okay, well, I'm just thinking that money, my bust is that money is best served trying to grow the game in different elements rather than giving it to the people, to the players.
And I think it's an return on investment sort of thing as well from FedEx, whereas when they're getting this golf's biggest prize and the FedEx is everywhere and it's called the FedEx, it's FedEx. Like, you know what I mean?
How's the women's game?
You don't even feel like using Royal Mail once you when you're watching it, do you? And it's that much jammed down your throat.
But how's the women's game going to grow then? How are you going to get that money in?
Everything grows slowly. Like you start putting a FedEx event for $7 million for the ladies, then Sky everyone's going to cover it. It's going to ping you, but like your viewing numbers aren't that big.
Yeah, but you don't know until you put that purse in there, do you? I can guarantee you now. If fact check this tomorrow when the Solheim Cup's finished, but that Solheim Cup on a Monday, that's going on now while we're recording. I guarantee you, everybody will be watching that.
Apart from us. Yeah. No, of course they will, but it's like what I said about moving the event to a Monday. That's what's getting people. People aren't tuned into this over the FedEx. That's why they've put it on the Monday.
Yeah.
So it's.
I don't know. You know, I was skipping between the two yesterday. I'm not going to lie. I was skipping between the two.
I was FedEx and me all day.
Well, this is it. So I don't know. It's a topic of discussion. I think, you know, like when I seen that Patrick Cantlay winning that one tournament has won more than Lexi Thompson's won, 3.6 more than she won in her whole career just by that one event. I just think, you know.
I think Cantley's in one tournament won probably more than most of the European Tour in one event.
Yeah, but the European Tour have got the Rolex series and they've got an alliance with the PGA Tour now, haven't they?
Yeah.
So I think you can continue to grow the European
Tour.
Well,
the LPGA Tour, like what Charlie Hull was saying, is the prize money is up to the men's European Tour. So it's growing in that way and you probably will get what you're saying happen.
That's what I think, yeah. The next step. They're showing that the level, like, it's entertaining watching the Solheim Cup. Like, it's entertaining golf, watching the majors and watching what Nelly Korda's done this year.
No, 1,000,000%.
You know, it's entertaining stuff. So I think there's just, if they can get the financial backing, then, you know, that feeds down. Then golf becomes a sport that young girls will want to play and they want to become a professional golfer because, you know, financially it's worth it for them.
What you need, really, for golf's women, the women golf's game to grow, is someone like Korda to play a PGA Tour event like Annika Sorenstam did.
Yeah.
And win it.
So more mixed events there. Or just...
I don't know, maybe a mixed event, maybe just... Maybe a mixed major or something. Or sort of like a mixed event where they all play together off the same tee, same go, and then the woman comes out on top. That's what's going to...
I was calling for the Korda-Ram match play, weren't I?
Yeah, well, that's what's going to... Maybe a Solheim Ryder merging cup.
Well, they do with the Palmer Cup, don't they, for the amateurs? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. The women and the men play together in the Palmer Cup. So that's, and they're the top amateurs in the world that go and play that. Richie Mansell played in it, didn't he? Do you know what I mean? And he was there when Hovland was there and things. So it's definitely, you know, there's different ways to do it. But my bust was just seeing that. I was quite shocked by that, to be honest. The 2010 Ryder Cup, first time in Wales.
Yeah, well, I probably mentioned it last week, didn't I? I was there just before the Adder, so I played the course. Well, played 3 holes and it got snowed off.
Yeah.
So it was sick.
Yeah, because they made the course, the 2010 course, just for that, didn't
they? Yeah. It was nice. It was boss.
Did you play the 2010 course?
Yeah. Start on 17. Shotgun start.
Was it? And then just got... Yeah, because they gave you a bar tab then, didn't you?
We just got lit. But that's where 17 was actually the where it all come to a head, didn't it? And McDowell.
Yeah, definitely. Well, obviously, he held that putt on 16, didn't he?
That was the proper
fist pump. And then Montgomery doesn't normally like getting involved in these situations. Yeah. I went over to him and just gave him a little one in the ear and was just like, calm yourself down, you need to win this all. And then knocks it right onto the middle of the green, doesn't he? And then
I know.
Hunter Mahan makes it easy for him with the duff, yeah. But Montgomery captained Team Europe and then Corey Pavin had the American team, didn't he?
Yeah. Don't you remember? Like, so this is in 2010. And when did Tiger come up with a scandal? 2014?
A scandal was 2009.
2009, was it? So yeah, 2009. But there's a video at the opening ceremony where Catherine Jenkins is singing and you see Tiger look like that, like just looking at her ass. You're thinking, you little beast. But I think there's a few of them, like, do you know what I mean, like that.
Unbelievable, sick. Yeah. Prince Charles was there.
Seen that.
Yeah,
giving his impartial good looks out.
Yeah. It was a big concert at the Millennium Stadium 2 days before the event. Obviously got the European team ready to go. Monty said that he wanted to see passion from the whole team. That's what he was after this week. He said he's the way he'd positioned them and put them out. So you mentioned there Tiger Woods returned. This was the year after the surgery, wasn't it?
He
won the US Open in 08.
Yeah.
Had a surgery and it was out for 2009. So he had to rely on a captain's pick from Corey Pavin. Obviously, if he's fit, you're not going to not pick him, are you?
No, of course not.
And he got a total of 3 out of 4 points across the week. The one game that he did lose, him and Steve Stricker, who have the Dream Team, where
took a whooping.
Yeah, Luke Donald and Lee Westwood beat them 6-5.
Yeah, remember that. Yeah.
Memories for them, definitely.
But with all that ceremony and bringing all the Welsh people in, like obviously Catherine Jenkins and a few other people like that were there, it sort of feels like they've took a bit of inspiration from what Azing had done the year before with, like, getting a 13th man and, you know, getting all the country, getting the state of Louisville on the side, like getting the whole country of Wales on board, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's it, and getting them behind them. As I say, the Millennium Stadium was packed, everybody in there for the opening ceremony, the speeches, and those same fans who were in that stadium are probably going to be the ones that then go into Celtic Manor.
No, definitely, to watch it. So exactly,
you're pumped up when you're ready to go.
And it just gives more of a buzz around the city. There's an event on there. What's that for? Oh, the Ryder Cup? People who don't even know golf are like, oh, the Ryder Cup's on. Like, do you know what I mean? It builds more home Nope. The whole momentum, doesn't it?
Definitely, yeah.
But hey, funny little story about that Millennium Stadium. Remember going to Cardiff away with Everton, thinking I was going to the Millennium Stadium and turned up at this dump.
Why did you think you were going there?
I just thought it was where Cardiff played. I was looking at it, I was like, this not, what's going on here? Sick. The only reason I went was because of that.
But you anyway. Wanted to go to the Millennium Stadium. Yeah. It is in Cardiff, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Stadium, but it's the Welsh national teams.
But like, got me anyway. But on the Saturday...
It's like going to Fulham away and expecting to turn up at Wembley.
I know, yeah, I don't know what happened. I just honestly just thought it was. On the Saturday and Sunday session, session three, but it was a completely different format because of the weather.
Yeah.
You see what happened?
Well, yeah, it's ironic, isn't it, that obviously the Solheim Cup's finishing Monday and this was the first ever Monday finish.
Yeah.
It?
Well, it was the first time that all 24 players took part in a session at the same time in six pairings instead of the usual four. And another first was both foursome and four-ball matches were played at the same time in the same session.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So when they played that session at the same time, actually, it went fully blue. There were six blue wins, and then one ended up going and getting half. So it was 5.5 to 1/2.
Yeah, the Molinari brothers got the half in the end, didn't he? Yeah.
But it's possible that the Molinari brothers played and they got a pick. So then you'd like to see if Rasmus qualified, do you bring on Nicolai just to bring the camaraderie and the, do you know what I mean?
Together,
like, basically what they've done with the Molinaris.
They're only 20 years of age and they're winning back-to-back European Tour. I think it's a bit too soon for them this one, but it'd be great in the future to see them at Rome.
I think in Rome, and in Rome, he's won it. You know what I mean?
It makes sense, doesn't it? But you mentioned there about, obviously, the second and third day merging together, and it was a sea of blue, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Give them a three-point lead, 9.5 to 6.5 going into the singles. And what was interesting about it, there was 11 rookies across the two teams, and six of them were in Europe. So even though they did have a three-point lead, half of the team were rookies on the European team. So there's always got to be a bit of, you've got to be careful what you do. So Monty said, because of that, obviously take the pressure off the rookies, and because he thought it was going to be a close game, he put his experience at the end. That's obviously why he put Padre Harrington and McDowell as the last two, and obviously
McDowell's experience. He was a rookie last Ryder Cup, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he's obviously McIlroy was a rookie, wasn't he, in this one?
Yeah,
and they've obviously got paired together and done well, and it looked like McDowell had brought him on. Again,
but not one of the rookies on the Sunday won a point,
didn't he?
Nah,
did Rory get beat?
He already got beat, yeah.
Did he? Yeah, I know Tiger won, didn't he? 4-3, was it? Yeah,
but it's just funny, isn't it? Like, he's thinking that his rookies are going out there to do a job and they haven't. Every single one of them's let him down, do you know what I mean?
And the experience has paid off, hasn't it? McDowell ends up winning 3-1, and I give Europe 14.5 to 13.5.
Slender one, but it's
we're getting close now. We've got 3 weeks till the 2021 Ryder Cup, so that leaves us 12, 14. 16 and 18, four more Ryder Cups to go. So we'll have to do two next week and two the following week in order to make sure we get it in and ready. But it's good Ryder Cup talk. We'll be talking Ryder Cup over.
Well, that's it. It gives us, because there's hardly no tournament on, it gives us just more of a thing to buzz about, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's worked out well. Right then, a bit of golf to review. There's only the BMW.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wentworth Golf Club, you went last year, didn't
I
you?
I went, when it was last on, I've probably said it before, but we got a taxi straight in, didn't we? And we were just on the 17th fairway.
Did you have tickets?
Yeah, we had tickets. No, we didn't have tickets.
No?
Just drove straight in, saying, where do we pay in there? Watched one shot and went and sat in a gym bar for 7 hours and then watched Rudimental that we're on.
I was going to say, they put a concert on.
Sick,
Was it good, yeah?
Is the one on this year? Should we go, by the way?
We say this every week. I know. We haven't sourced tickets, have we? We can go if you want.
Well, we can get a taxi straight in,
Tyrrell Hatton, defending champion, won it last year in his hoodie, didn't he?
I know.
As we know, Padraig Harrington gets the selector's picks after this event. Billy Horschel, Victor Hovland are over after the top 10 in the BMW as well. So all the stars are there for the final Rolex Series of the year.
There's a few others, Gareth Higo and all that. There's a big star still at the event.
Yeah.
Justin Rose is playing. Mm. But Hatton took it from Willie, so it'd be nice for Hatton to give it to another Englishman in Tommy Fleetwood.
Tommy Fleetwood, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm good that we're not doing picks this week.
What about when we used to work there every year?
Oh my God. Well, I used to work there. You used to just go to sleep
under the scoreboard.
Under the scoreboard. And I'm used to go out
in Guildford.
Yeah, Guildford. And then we've done one in Slough as well, didn't
Slough, man. Yeah. That was mad. But with par 72, 7,267 yards.
Yeah.
It wasn't that big when I think they've extended. What did they put a ditch in an 18 and a pond, didn't they?
They done that a couple of years ago, extended. Yeah. They completely changed the 18th, yeah. And they put it comes right across the front of the green now, doesn't it?
And they changed all the greens, did they, as well?
They've done a lot of work to it, yeah. I'm not 100% sure what happened, but Hatton obviously had a comfortable lead. I think it was 2 or 3 shots going down 18 last season.
Yeah.
And he chunked his second shot and it just got over the little thing and the ditch and he ended up laughing his head off in the end, like.
I think it was Oliver Fisher or Oliver Wilson. One of them had a 2 on an albatross. And there was an almighty scream there.
Tommy Fleetwood, that.
What?
It was Tommy Fleetwood.
Was it?
Tommy had a 2 on the second, yeah.
This one that I went with.
Yeah.
It definitely wasn't Tommy because I think I'd remember.
Tommy Fleetwood has had an albatross. Kieran watched it. Tommy Fleetwood has had an albatross on the second hole.
I went with.
Is it the second, the par 5, or is it the par 3? And then you don't even get past the first, do you?
I just know 17, 18, that's all I know. I used to pick the scoreboards later on so you can get there early and have a kip.
You never used to pick any scoreboards, you used to sit
No, there. What I'm saying is, I used to tell Rick Daniels to put me on like 17 or 18 so the first group doesn't get round to you for a few hours. Definitely Oliver Wilson or Oliver Fisher.
He might have had one, yeah. Yeah, Tommy Fleetwood makes albatross at Wentworth.
Last year?
No, not last year.
Oh, yeah, well, this is last year, I'm talking about Arkeen was there.
Oh, yeah. To make it last year. I thought you meant just in general. 2015.
Nice.
At the BMW Championship.
Sick, that.
Yeah. I knew I was right.
We should just do picks anyway. Just me against you. Who's gonna win? Who's going to win, yeah.
Okay. Double quit on the whole FedEx.
Yeah.
Order of merit, yeah. Okay. So,
I'm going for Tommy, obviously.
You're going for Tommy. Okay. I'm going to go for Billy Horschel.
Oof.
No, I'm going to go for Victor Hovland.
Oof.
Victor Hovland, yeah. Last time he was on the European Tour, he won.
There you go.
Over in Germany. So, and it was a BMW that as well. So, BMW International Open, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Got a thing for the BMW. So, I'm going to go for Victor to go back-to-back at BMW. Before we conclude this week's show, obviously we've spoke about Padraig Harrington and his selection. So, you get there's a total of 12 in the team, as we know. As it stands, the team is looking like...
What I was going to say was, as of that tournament being done, I know we've done our picks for Stricker last week, would you stick by what you said? Are you sticking by what you said, or would you change it?
I think, I know I like him, but I think I'd take Sam Burns out and put Nair in.
Would you, yeah.
I don't think you can't not do that after the way he's... They've had a similar season, both won once.
Yeah, I might take Webb Simpson out and put Nair in.
Yeah. So then our only difference then would be...
Horschel and you Reed. Reed, yeah.
Yeah.
So Kevin Nair gets the... Yeah.
I think Kevin Nair gets the nod, yeah. And I think...
So Finau, Spieth, Morikawa, Harris English.
Kevin Nair. Yeah, okay. So, the European team as it stands now, before it kicks off at Wentworth, is John Rahm, Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, Rory McIlroy, Victor Hovland, Paul Casey, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Lee Westwood, and Shane Lowry.
Yeah.
Some team, by the way.
Unbelievable.
And I was looking at the top six in America. I was thinking, wow, what a team. But then you forget how strong the European team is, don't you?
I know.
So on the bubble, needing a good week, Wiesberger, we spoke, didn't we, about what he'd done.
He could have been in.
He could have been in if he wouldn't have made that double on 18. Given that was the team, who would be your three picks?
So my three picks would be Wiesberger.
Yeah.
Because he's very close. And I think if he has an all right week here, he's in. Garcia, I think he's half nailed on by the way he's not playing this week.
I think he knows.
Yeah, and I think the postman.
Yeah, the postman. Just for... He's playing well as well.
Because he's the postman, really.
Yeah, it's not just... But he is playing well. He can justify a pick, I think, because he has had a good few tournaments. He's not being as active as he'd want to be, and obviously didn't get into the, the tour championships, but he has been playing well this season. He's had a couple of leads that he sort of threw away, and he was up there last year when he played at Wentworth, wasn't he? So he does like this track. I've gone for Garcia and Poulter, like you. I've just changed my first pick. I'd have Robert McIntyre in ahead of Wiesberger.
Why?
Just, you know, I think he's performed well this season. He's made the big step up. He's done well in tournaments. He played the match play, didn't he? And got out of a beat Bryson DeChambeau, didn't he, in the WGC match play. Yeah. He ends up finishing, he went to the last 16 before he lost, and he's also finished 8th at the Open and 12th at the Masters this season, and he's currently 54th in the world. So he's...
could be.
I think Robert McIntyre, Sergio Garcia and Ian Poulter, they'll be my three picks.
You're just taking Poulter on, say, just on...
Well, Sergio, I mean, you get to the Tour Championships on the PGA Tour, then it's hard not to pick him, isn't it?
No, I suppose,
yeah. He's what, only, what, Rory McIlroy and Victor Hovland, the only two other European players who finished above him in the whole FedEx season. So, you know, you're thinking you've got Fleetwood, Hatton, and Ram as well, sorry. You've got Fleetwood, Hatton, Casey, Fitzpatrick, Lowry all played in the PGA Tour this season and didn't finish ahead of Garcia.
I suppose, yeah.
So that justifies his pick. I think it'd be hard to not pick him. And again, Poulter, I think he's given a glimpse of good performances this season. Yeah. He's the postman. He wanted someone to bring that
of passion. Course, yeah, 1,000,000%.
Yeah, he's got to be there, hasn't he?
It's just been out there that Mickelson's been named as an assistant captain as well. Did you know that?
Yeah, I see that. So,
yeah. Sick, innit?
Yeah, it'd be good
having
to have
him around, major champion, bit of buzz.
I think with the way Bubba's been at the Solheim, he might even draft
him. Oh, yeah, he's doing that for that, isn't he?
For rapping.
Yeah. He can leave the rapping, though, hopefully.
Yeah, no, but again, looking forward to it, another great event. Great
no,
golf,
1,000,000%.
Great stories. No, yeah, the BMW Championship, it's the last chance.
Last chance.
Always a good event.
You never know, like, if Højgaard wins this week.
Rasmus.
Yeah.
Does he get an automatic pick then? He must.
Do you know what I mean?
It's a Rolex Series event. This is going to boost you right up. And where he's, you know.
Do you know what I mean? It could all change.
I'd like to see that, you know.
I would.
A fresh face, like somebody you just wouldn't expect. Yeah. It's happened over the years. Was it Jamie Donaldson? Had an unbelievable season. Yeah. He ended up winning the Ryder Cup, didn't he? Which we'll come on to. Was it 2014 or 16? One of them. You get a pick and turns up.
That's it. It's good, though, isn't it?
Being the difference, yeah, definitely. But we'll see what comes of it, and we'll keep an eye on who Stricker's picking. We'll keep an eye on who Podrick's picking.
Yeah.
We'll keep an eye on the golf. We'll keep an eye on each other.
Keep an eye on you, because I think you've lost your mind.
And again, appreciate you taking the time.
Sick guy.
No, it's been great speaking to you, as always, mate. You gone again?
Appreciate you taking the time, man. That was the best bit, wasn't it?
We have some laughs, don't we?
We do, man.
Well, look, appreciate you taking the time, and until next week, enjoy your golf.
Ciao.
Line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he on the sink.